Even though we mess up in life from time to time, even though things don't go our way, we can always rest assured that Jesus loves me. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the love of Jesus. We can never say thank you enough for your death on the cross. The writer of Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of blood, that there is no forgiveness of sin. And we understand and we know that it is your shed blood, your sacrifice on the cross, that has saved us from an eternity in hell. And we look forward to the day where we see you face to face. Oh, how I long to breathe the air of heaven. And Lord, I pray as we go into our sermon today, Holy Spirit, speak through me. I pray that you will move mightily in us today. I have here a bottle of sunscreen. This is Neutrogena Beach Defense SPF 30. Now, I don't know if 30 is good, bad, indifferent. I don't use the stuff. My daughter-in-law uses it a lot. Not my daughter-in-law, my daughter, Holly, actually. She got sunburned one time, and that was enough for her. So she always puts suntan lotion and sunscreen on when she goes outside. This week, we're coming up on a hot week. If I've looked at the calendar, if I've looked at the weather, good. It's going to be a nice sunshiny week, is it not? If I were to take this bottle of sun protection out to the beach in the middle of the day, and I get my beach chair out, and I sit out there, and I read my book, and I take this sunscreen, and I set it there next to me all day long, how much protection from the sun would I get? Zero. How much? If I read every word on here, which there's no way in the world I could read all that, and I read on the back all of the instructions on here, and I understand the chemical makeup, and I understand the process of making this, and I know absolutely everything I can know about this sunscreen, how much good does that do? None. In order for this to protect me from the UV rays of the sun, what do I have to do? I have to apply it. Wow, you are smart. It doesn't work in the bottle, does it? It only works when you apply it to your skin. In the same way, you can carry your Bible to church. You can put your Bible on the seat next to you in your car and drive that Bible around with you everywhere you go. You can have your Bible on your phone or your tablet like I do, or you can have multiple versions the way I do. You can read your Bible. You can study the Word of God. You can do the best you can to understand it. But if you don't apply it, it doesn't protect you. It is not the reading of the Word of God. And the reading of the Word of God is crucial, and it is important because you'll never get to the understanding or the application unless you start with reading it. But carrying your Bible and reading your Bible is great. It's wonderful. But it's the application that brings God's blessings. We're going to continue our series on the process of purpose. And as we've been looking at Joseph's journey, and how that God has used him for his plan and his purposes. Today we're going to talk about application. See, because God wants to bless you. It is his desire to pour out his blessings in your life. Only he's not just going to pour out his blessings just because. God knows how this world is designed to work because he created it. He designed it. And so when God says in his word in the Bible, do this and don't do that, it's not because God is saying, I don't want you to have any fun. It's because God is saying, if you do this, you're going off a cliff. So don't go this way. I want you to go this way because this is the place of peace. And this is the place of joy. And this is the place of prosperity. God wants to bless you, but you've got to apply his instructions to your life in order to be able to receive those blessings. And as we've talked about the process of purpose, remember, the very first week we met Joseph when he was how old? 17 years old. And God spoke to him in a dream. And we talked about how that God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph's life because Satan was trying to destroy the nation of Israel. But Satan's plans are not going to work. God has a plan, and his plan will not be stopped. And God raised up Joseph and had a plan for Joseph and his plan to stop Satan. And just like God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you were created for a reason. And God is inviting you to join him in his work in this world. But then it starts, and that second week we talked about how that it starts with submission. Submission to our Heavenly Father in obedience to the Word of God. And a key way of learning submission to your Heavenly Father is to submit to the authority that God has placed in your life in the moment. And we talked about faithfulness. And oh, how important faithfulness is, because it is easy to get distracted in this world. It is easy to say, well, I think I'll skip church this week because whatever. Or it's easy to skip life group, or I'll read my Bible later, or I'll talk to that person next week, or I'll be a witness maybe next year when I'm more, whatever it is. No, God has called us to be faithful today and in this moment. And of course, we talked about integrity and how important integrity is, and how that Joseph, in resisting the sexual temptations, demonstrated his integrity, and how you and I must stand up and do what is right, even if it cost you something. And it cost Joseph to stand up and do what was right. He lost his position in the home and got thrown into prison. But even in prison, God had a plan, and God gave Joseph an opportunity to apply the truths and the principles of his word when he met the butler and the baker. And he interpreted their dreams for them. And all along Joseph's journey, he was applying the truth of God in his life. And all along, God was preparing him for the moment that we're going to talk about today. And then, of course, last week, as I watched, I'm so thankful for Randy. I appreciate him so much filling in last Sunday, speaking on forgiveness. I didn't ask him to talk about forgiveness, but forgiveness truly is a part of discovering and applying your purpose in life. Because Jesus told us that we are to forgive others how? The way he forgave us. And if we're going to walk in obedience to our Lord and Savior, we have to learn to forgive. But what we discover about forgiveness is that it frees us from our past. That as long as you hold on to the grudges of the past, you will be chained there forever. And forgiveness is so important in finding and fulfilling your purpose. Well, today, you've got to take all those things and you've got to apply them. Because it's nice to come to church and talk about it. It's nice to hear a sermon about it. It's nice for us to pretend like, well, this is all great and wonderful, but if you're not applying it throughout the week, it's like the sunscreen that just sits in the bottle and doesn't protect you from the sun's rays. So as we go to Genesis chapter 41 today and we continue the story in Joseph's journey, it starts like this. Then it came to pass at the end of how long? 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. And it continues with telling us his dream. 2 full years since we've seen Joseph last. 2 years since he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, and they came true exactly how God said they were going to be. 2 years of Joseph sitting in prison, wondering, waiting, questioning, why did he forget? He promised me he would do this, and he didn't do it. Have you ever been forgotten? Someone not fulfilled a promise? It's painful, isn't it? It hurts. And for 2 years, he had to wonder, well, did he even tell Pharaoh? Did he tell Pharaoh, but Pharaoh didn't care? Why in the world has God left me in this prison? It makes absolutely no sense. I don't understand. 2 full years later. And then Pharaoh has a dream. Because even though Joseph couldn't see it, God was still working and God was still moving and God was waiting for the right time in order to speak to Pharaoh next. And when he spoke to Pharaoh in the dream, this is basically the dream. Pharaoh has this dream. There's these 7 healthy fat cows. They rise up And after them, seven thin, ugly, starving to death cows rise up, and they swallow up and eat the healthy cows. And then there's seven healthy ears of grain that grow up. And after them, seven blighted, thin, ugly ears of grain grow up, and they eat the seven good ears of grain. And as Pharaoh's telling this dream, he ends up by saying he awoke, and indeed it was a dream. But this wasn't just any ordinary dream. This was God talking to Pharaoh, the unbeliever. This is now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He knew that this was not just pepperoni pizza talking overnight. This was God himself speaking. And he called all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told him his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. God was speaking to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh didn't understand. So where did Pharaoh turn to first? He turned to his friends. He turned to all the people that he knew, and they couldn't understand either. You know why? Because they weren't children of God. They were worshipers of false idols. But isn't it interesting that God spoke to the unbeliever? Because God does speak to unbelievers. And for the unbeliever who is not saved, the thing that God's speaking to you is this: come and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let me transform your life. But the thing is, the unbeliever can't always understand. That's why it's important for you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, to go and make disciples to help them understand what it is that God is saying. Because he turned to all of his smart people and they had no idea. You know why? Because the world does not have the answers to your most important questions. You will not find the answers that you're looking for out there in the world. You're going to find the answers to your questions in God's Word. God is the creator. God is the designer. God is the one that loves you. God is the one that wants what is absolutely best for you. And you'll not find the answers you're looking for if you're looking out there. You'll find them in God's Word. That's why it's so important to be involved in God's Word. It is so important to be involved with God's people, to be involved in a church, to surround yourself with people who hear God, who listen to God, who obey God, who follow God. You surround yourself with those people because they will help you in your journey of faith, because the answers are here, not out there. And then what happened? The chief butler's like, uh-oh. And I'm going, dude, what took you so long? 2 years later, he's like, oh, yeah, I remember. He spoke to Pharaoh saying, I remember my faults this day. But let's not beat him up too much. You know why? Because God had a plan, and God was waiting for just the right time. And at just the right time, God reminded this other unbeliever, the butler, like, remember the guy? 2 years ago, you remember him? And he said, oh, yes. And he spoke up, and he spoke to Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh was angry with his servants, he tells him, and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dream for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. He hanged the baker. Let's go back one verse. The butler, in telling of the story of what Joseph did, he goes, there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. Now that statement, that retelling of that story is mostly right, but it's not 100% correct, is it? What did he get wrong there? He interpreted it for us. Who did he give credit to? No. He gave credit to Joseph, did he not? But remember when they told the dream to Joseph? Who did Joseph give credit to? He gave credit to God. Joseph made sure to point out, I can't do this, God can do this. And we talked about how that giving God glory is giving God the credit. Well, he kind of forgot about that. Again, I understand in his retelling, Joseph was the guy. But he doesn't quite get it right. Well, Pharaoh, he sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of this dungeon. The dungeon, look at that, he's in a dungeon. And he changed his clothes, and he came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And now here is Joseph's opportunity. He's been in prison for over 2 years now, innocent of the charges. Here's his opportunity to speak to the one man who can get him out of jail. Here's his opportunity to maybe take credit for something and find favor with Pharaoh in order to get rid of this horrible situation that he's in. But what does he do? If you know Joseph, and if you've been following along, and if you read the story, you know what Joseph does. Why? You've seen how Joseph has applied God's truths in the past, and he does the same thing now in the present. Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He takes the opportunity of a lifetime. He doesn't complain and gripe. He doesn't say, look, I've been in jail for too long. He doesn't say, I'll tell you if you get me out of prison. He does none of this. He points directly to God and says, look, it is God that interprets the dreams. Joseph's application of truth in his past prepared him for applying truth in the present. We must be applying biblical truth in the small moments of our lives, day by day, Monday mornings and Tuesday evenings and Wednesday afternoons and Saturday mornings. We must be applying the truth of God's word in those moments in order to be ready for the big moments. If you're not preparing day by day, if you're not applying in the little moments, when the big moment comes, you will not be prepared. How many of you in here have had firearms training? I know some of you, more than I expected. That's kind of a good thing. It's a bad thing if somebody comes through that back door wanting to harm us, but that's a good thing. And we've got military men here and all this. I've got friends, the guys that I teach on Monday nights, they're all big gun guys, and they go shooting every week. And in their training, in my training, everybody's training that I know, there's always this phrase that comes up at some point. And it says, if something happens, if that moment comes where you have to defend yourself, you will not rise to the occasion. You will fall to your training. And that is true. Is it not, Zach? We don't just rise to the occasion. You can go buy a handgun, store it in your safe, and 6 years later, if you haven't taken it out of your safe in 6 years, and all of a sudden somebody breaks in you're in that emergency, you cannot necessarily count that you're going to find that gun and use it properly. You fall to your training. Now, the movies, women pick up a gun. They've never touched a gun in their life, and they're just blowing all the bad guys around. And I'm like, I'm not so sure that's the way it works in the real world, right? Life is not a movie. The same thing's true of your faith. You need to be applying and practicing daily in order to be ready so that when God says, here's your moment, here's your opportunity, let me pour out my blessings on you, you are ready for that moment. And so Pharaoh repeats the dream to Joseph, and he ends. He says, I told this to the magicians, but there was none who could explain it to me. Why? Because the answers aren't in the world, right? They're in the Word of God. Well, Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh, the unbeliever, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years. The seven good heads are 7 years, and the dreams are one. The seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. And the dream was this: there's going to be 7 good, fruitful, plentiful years, 7 years of good times, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of lots of food. But Pharaoh, don't be lulled to sleep, because after that, there's only 7 years of famine. And so you need to get ready. This is what God had told Pharaoh. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice. Why? Because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. In other words, God has already made up his mind on this issue, and it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do that will change his mind. This is coming true. But Joseph doesn't stop there. He continues. Joseph says, "Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine." So once Joseph interprets the dream, technically speaking, his job is done. He was simply brought up here to interpret the dream. Now at this point, he could have said, "Okay, I told you the dream, get me out of prison." At this point, he could have started talking about his life. He could have begged Pharaoh. He could have done all kinds of things. But what does he do? He continues and he gives wise counsel, does he not? Now, where do you think he learned this wise counsel? He learned it when he started as a slave in Potiphar's house and rose to the top to manage all of Potiphar's household. And then he got thrown into prison. But what did he do? He remained faithful. And he didn't give up, and he kept applying the Word of God in his life, even though he was in prison, and it wasn't justified. And what did he do? He rose up in the prison, and he was a manager in the prison. And now he looks at this situation, and because of all the experience he's had, he's got an idea, he's got a plan, and he makes a suggestion. He gives wise counsel to Pharaoh instead of griping and complaining about his problem. And I think there's a little bit of a side here that's important for us. We come together in groups and church and with friends, and it is important for us to share in each other's struggles and trials and help each other through things. But I think there are times where someone is pouring out their heart to you and they're struggling. It's not necessarily the time for you to, "Well, let me tell you what I went through." I get it. We do it a lot of times because we want them to understand, "I know how you feel. I empathize with you." But many times that's what's not what is needed. Sometimes that can come across as, "You didn't really even listen to me, did you?" We need to be discerning and understand sometimes people simply need to hear the truth of the Word of God. There's not always a reason for you to tell your story. Now, there is at times, and we do need to share. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we need to be wise and discerning and letting people know, "Well, this is what God has to say about the subject. Here is the truth." And what's one of our values? Speak the truth in love, because it is the Word of God that transforms life. Your testimony is powerful. Your story is powerful, but it is not always appropriate. And so he gives this wise counsel, and Pharaoh responds like this. So the advice was what? Good in the eyes of Pharaoh. He goes, "Well, that sounds like a good plan to me." And in the eyes of all the servants all around. Now think about this. Where was Joseph just a few hours earlier? He was a prisoner. And now all the smartest people in the country are going, "This guy knows what he's talking about. Tell me that's not a God thing." So they think this is a good idea. And Pharaoh, I love this verse. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is what? The Spirit of God." This unbeliever recognized God speaking through Joseph. Ask you a question. Had Joseph started griping and complaining about being in prison for the last 2 years, do you think the Spirit of God would have flown through? Had Joseph tried to take advantage of this opportunity to gain something for himself with the Spirit of God spoken through? I don't think so. Joseph gave God the glory. How did he start off this conversation with Pharaoh? I can't interpret your dream. God can interpret your dream. And Pharaoh recognized the wisdom and the maturity of this man who was a prisoner not long ago, somebody he had never even heard of. All because Joseph had been applying godly truths and principles through his life, through the ups, the downs, the good, the bad. And now in this moment, he was practiced and ready. And he applied the truth of the Word of God, and it spoke right through him. And the unbelievers are going, wow, there's something different about that guy. We need to live lives where that when we speak, we allow the Spirit of God to speak through us. That we allow God's work in our lives to shine through us so that the unbeliever can see God, not us. That we give glory and credit to God and not us. That is transforming. Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as what? God has shown you all this. God shown him. Why? Because Joseph told him. Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. What an incredible statement about a prisoner. You shall be over my house. All my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater to you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over how much? All the land of Egypt. He made him vice Pharaoh. He set him up over everything. That's crazy, is it not? Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and he went throughout all the land of Egypt. 30 years old. How old was Joseph when we first met him? 17 years old. Why didn't God just take 17-year-old Joseph and make him vice Pharaoh? He wasn't ready. He would have ruined Joseph. Can you imagine? President Trump says, I'm tired of J.D. Vance. I'm going to make my 17-year-old friend here. He's going to be vice president. I think the country might have an uproar, right? What? We're going to put a 17-year-old one breath away from being in charge of the country? I don't think so. 17-year-olds can't even clean their own room, much less run a country. Joseph would not have been ready. It would have destroyed him. God knew what he was doing in making him wait 13 years. 13 years from the time where God told Joseph, your entire family is going to bow down in front of you. 13 long, hard, difficult years. Joseph went from prisoner to vice Pharaoh overnight. But that overnight was 13 years in the making. God was preparing Joseph for this moment. God was preparing Joseph to do the job that he had for him. And God knew that Joseph would not be ready until he was 30. And God knew that Joseph had to learn some patience and some submission and some faithfulness and some integrity and how to take advantage of the opportunities. God knew what it took to get Joseph ready for this moment. And God is preparing you for something wonderful. But if you don't apply the truths on a daily basis, you're not going to be ready for it when God is ready to pour it out on you. We must be applying the truth of the Word of God on a daily life in order to be ready and prepared to receive the blessings of God in those moments. In order to be able to present the gospel to someone, in order to be able to answer the questions they have, you've got to be preparing. If you're not studying, you're not learning, you're not preparing, you're not going to meet the moment the way God wants you to. And it might take 13 years. I don't know. But however long it takes, that's up to God. You keep walking. You keep doing the next right thing. You keep being faithful. It might take time. So many of us, you make mistakes and you make a mess of your life. Maybe you've made a mess of your financial life. I want to encourage you, start doing things God's way financially. That doesn't mean you get out of debt overnight. It might take you a few years, but I promise you, you start applying God's truths to your finances, it will get better. It might take time, but it will get better. And one day you'll look back and go, oh, wow, I see that it works. Or in your relationships, all of these things, if you start applying it today, it might take a while, but I promise you, it gets better. How many of you here are familiar with the country band Alabama? Anybody? Most of you here, okay. Alabama, they came out with their first single, Tennessee River. Anybody know that song, Tennessee River? Anybody heard that, right? Came out in 1980. I was in high school. I wasn't a huge Alabama fan. I was a big country music fan. Ronnie Millsap was my favorite at the time, but I did away with country and secular music when I started having kids because I wanted to pour Christian music into my kids' ears. I heard my daughter at 3 years old singing a song about divorce, and I'm like, that's it. I'm done with country music. I'm not saying that it's wrong, and that's your choice. I'm just saying that's a choice I made. But anyway, in high school, I really liked country music, and I remember when that song came out, and I liked that song, right? And I liked Tennessee River and my home's in Alabama and all that other stuff. And as artists do, they go around when they become famous and they do interviews on the radio. And I was listening to an interview with them on the radio one day, and I went back and I double-checked myself. I don't remember this from 40 years ago. I had to go back and make sure I remember correctly. But in this interview, the guy that started the lead singer of Alabama, he goes, everybody thinks we're an overnight success. Because we've been playing music for years before we ever got popular. And I went and checked. They started the band Alabama in 1969, three cousins. It wasn't until 1977 that they signed their first record contract, and it wasn't until 1980 till anybody had ever even heard of them. Up until that point, they were just this little band in Alabama. 11 years before they became famous. And most people thought, wow, overnight success. They may have a great and wonderful life. They didn't see all the tours and all the traveling and all the stuff that took place for 11 years. I want to encourage you. You may not be an overnight success when you start following and applying the principles of God in your life. Matter of fact, more than likely, it won't be an overnight success. God can work and do miracles and change things dramatically in a moment. Yes, but so often it takes time. You know why? Because God is preparing you for something more, something bigger. Something better. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and He wants to pour out His blessings on you. The chapter ends like this. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. So in that first 7 years, he had two sons, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and that is not easy to say, were born to him. Pharaoh gave him Vice Pharaoh, and he gave him a wife. And in those first 7 years, he bore two sons to him. He called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what his name means. For God has made me forget all my toil and my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, another of the 12 tribes of Israel. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my what? Affliction. Joseph named his two sons, God has made me forget about my problems, and God has blessed me and made me fruitful. Now, he didn't mean that he couldn't remember them. What he meant is that those memories are no longer painful. That God took all of the past, all of the pain, all of the hurt, all of the rejection, all of the struggles, all of the trials, and he rolled it up and he created something good. And now Joseph is looking back and going, it's just a memory. God has made me forget all of it. And He has blessed me mightily. And I can see how God worked in my life and has brought me to this moment. And I'm sure at some point, I'm so glad I didn't give up when I was in prison. I'm so glad I didn't get angry and bitter and walk away. I'm so glad that I kept on being faithful and kept living a life of integrity and kept taking advantage of opportunities in front of me. And I'm so glad that I kept applying the truth of the Word of God in my life. Otherwise, I would not be here right now. And the same thing is said of you. And you can look back one day and go, I am so glad that I pushed through the hard times. And I did the next right thing, even though I wasn't comfortable doing it. But I obeyed God in that moment, and I am so glad that I did, because today I stand here a better person. My friend, Joseph is a story of trials and tribulations, but it's also a story of triumph. You've got trials and you've got tribulations. I know you do. You're human, living in a sinful world, a broken world. You've got a past. You've got your struggles. You've got your doubts. You've got those things that are kind of eating away at you that makes it hard to go to sleep at night. You've got all of that stuff. I simply want to encourage you to be like Joseph. To submit to God. Be faithful. Be a person of integrity. Take advantage of the opportunities. Apply in the moment of today the truth of the Word of God, even though it might be uncomfortable. And I promise you, you will come out on top and you will triumph in the future. You have God's blessings available to you if you apply God's truth. It is the application of God's Word that provides protection and blessing. Just like the sunscreen protects you from the sun's harmful rays. But only if you apply it. God's Word will protect you and bless you, but only if you will apply it. Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you so much for Joseph. What an amazing life. What an amazing story. And we're not even done with his story, Lord. There's so much more to come. But I thank you so much for the truths and the encouragement that we can find. I thank you so much that you've given us a promise of better things to come. That yes, we're a people of trials and tribulations, but we can be a people of triumph if we simply follow your leading and apply your truth in our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the worship team comes to get ready, what is it that you need to apply in your life today?